Hello and welcome to another episode of The Advantage. I'm your host, Michael Fiddle. Today is Tuesday, April 2nd, and on today's podcast, we are breaking down the Wednesday, April 3rd NBA slate. We got a bunch of games to go through, but not many bets that we actually like, so we're going to have a bit of a strategy conversation about approaching the end of the year betting and some of these last six or seven regular season games that these teams have. Notice I say we because joining me on the other side of the break is Mr. Undefeated, Mr. 6-0, Gibby Graves, back from Las Vegas and available to talk gambling because he could do it legally in New York now. So before we bring him in, let's remind everyone to rate, review, and subscribe on whatever podcast platform you're listening to this podcast to go onto the YouTube and watch this show on the Fantasy Basketball International YouTube channel. And to check out the fiddlespicks.substack.com. That is my free gambling newsletter. When I am not doing a podcast and reviewing the picks, I send them out with a write-up completely free, fiddlespicks.substack.com. Let's start talking about the Wednesday games.
I'm the type to get shit done. You're the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. Don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny and tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me. And my mom is healthy. That's all that I need.
All right, everybody. Welcome in and welcome back to the show. Gib, you missed that little intro bop while you were gone?
I did miss the intro bop. It always gets me ready to play some good bets. So I missed that, and I missed making money back here in New York.
But I hear you did pretty well in Vegas.
I did pretty well in Vegas. Not on sports betting, but on blackjack tables. I was on fire a little bit. It was a good time.
Did you bet on any sports while you were there? Did you go to the sports books?
I did. So you have to like go and get your like you have to. In order to do it on your phone, you have to go register and give them your ID. So I just did that, and then I could do it on my phone afterwards. I was even on the day. I put a bunch of bets on like the women's basketball and college basketball rather than the NBA.
All right. Well, we are not going to be breaking down any Caitlin Clark against Paige Buckets, right? That's the finals?
Yeah, 12.6 million viewers.
When is that UConn versus Iowa game?
I do not know. I think it's maybe Friday.
I'm gonna look it up right now. Is it appointment? Clearly, it's not appointment viewing for you. Friday at 6 p.m. Pacific time, so 9 o'clock Eastern time. Appointment viewing for you? Important for you to watch it or no?
I'll tune it on. If the game's interesting, I'll keep watching it. If not, I will tune it on, turn it off, and then watch the end of the second half.
Have you cared much about the men's bracket?
No, because the games haven't been fun. It's like UConn's clapping teams. I don't really know any of the guys. They're not like any superstars except for Zach Edey, I guess. But he's not like a surefire NBA draft pick, so it's less fun. So because there aren't these surefire superstars in college basketball and like players change teams all the time, I'm less into it.
Yeah, I agree. I always say, I think it's because we grew up in New York where there's no good. I mean, you can go all the way to Syracuse, which was like 4 or 5 hours away of a drive. But realistically, that wasn't that close to us. We had every professional sports team. I mean, we had the Knicks, Nets, Jets, Giants, Yankees, Mets, Rangers, Islanders. So there's literally two of every professional sports team and no dominant college team in the area. St. John's, no. Syracuse, like I said, far away. So we grew up with professional sports as, you know, the main form of entertainment. And I've always said, you know, when people get so involved in the college game, they're like, how are you such a big basketball fan, but you don't watch college? I say, if they're good enough, I'll see them one day.
Yeah. Yeah.
The good ones, the ones that you really want me to watch, I'll peep them as the seventh man on the bench next year. You know, maybe they'll be drafted in the lottery. This looks like a weak rookie draft, though, as you were saying. So not that interesting. Let's just move on to Wednesday. I will go up, like I always say, and throw up the FanDuel odds board onto the screen as me and Gibby work through this slate breakdown. Let me zoom in because it's way too zoomed out for the viewers. And although we present the FanDuel odds screen, it is not always where our bets are, because we will line shop for the best possible odds. And we will be able to point that out. But since FanDuel has the best user interface, it is the best to go through the best bets for the day. Gibby, I will just start us off and say I grabbed Charlotte Hornets -2. It's now back the other way to -1.5 because approximately 3 minutes after I bet it, not approximately, exactly 3 minutes after I bet it, news comes out, Brandon Miller and Miles Bridges onto the injury report, both with like hand injuries or elbow injuries or arm injuries. They're both now questionable. Both played close to 40 minutes last game and didn't come out injured. So I think they are inevitably going to be ruled in, and I'm still going to like this bet and end up with plus CLV. I would still take this at the -1.5, but there is that concern that you're not going to get pregame movement to play back, because if they're going to be on the injury list, you're not going to get that certainty and that CLV. And then, of course, if they are out, that might be a ticket that you wish you could burn. So thoughts on Hornets -2 or -1.5 now?
I like that bet. I've actually watched a couple Hornets games recently. I kind of like how they've been playing. Now, this is all obviously dependent upon Brandon Miller and Miles Bridges playing. One of the picks that I had also in this game, I bet it at BetMGM, so I got a 211 number, but I like the over on this. This here says 213, but I got it at 211. If you look back into the Portland Trailblazers past couple games, they have some games where they let up 130, 140, 125, 130. So defensively, they're not that great. Haven't been all season. So I think if the Hornets, if even one of those guys plays, Brandon Miller or Bridges, I think that 211, 213 number is an absolute steal.
So this line, Gibb, opened at 215.5, started working its way down, then got to 211.5 at certain points. We talk about resistance points, or 211, like you said. We talk about resistance points in the market. When it reaches down to 211 or 211.5, likely as a result of the injury reports and saying, okay, Brandon Miller, Miles Bridges aren't going to be out there, let's knock off 4 points of the total, it started to creep its way back up. And FanDuel, I've been writing about this on the Substack, which is plug, everyone should sign up for fiddlespicks.substack.com, and read what I write carefully, because sometimes you get some valuable nuggets. And one of those is FanDuel's been the book that's been going 10 toes deep into the under trend throughout the NBA. And that they've been saying, okay, we understand that these games have all been priced a little bit too high and unders are cashing at a historic rate. So therefore, we're going to go 1 point lower than most other books. So when you get an instance where FanDuel is willing to go 1.5 higher than another book, that is a loud, clear sign that this is not going lower than Gibby's 211. He is going to have plus CLV on his ticket when it closes. He got it at the resistance point. It's probably not going the other way back up to 215.5 unless both those guys are active, in which case it might even go higher. But 211.5 still exists at ESPN Bet, and it's 213 everywhere else. So I do think that is a smart grab. And Gibb, I might tell you on that. I just think the way that FanDuel's been setting the steam in the totals, and everyone's been catching up to where FanDuel is, it's notable that they're at 213 right now.
Interesting. I didn't know that the FanDuel had been kind of leading the charge amongst all the books.
Right. I don't want to call them a sharp book because they're not a sharp book. They're a retail book. I don't want to call them a public book, but I do know this might be the reason why. I do know that the head odds maker for FanDuel, this guy named John Sheeran, he loves basketball. Loves the NBA. So while you might go to Pinnacle or Circa and those guys are football junkies, or you might go to DraftKings and the guy's a college football and college basketball person, so a lot of their resources are pulled into those sports, FanDuel is very aware of what's happening in the NBA. And it's not a permanent thing. This is not something I'll blanketly apply to next season and say FanDuel's the sharpest NBA book. No, I'm saying right now they've been the book to catch on to this trend of unders. and to be pricing that in. So if they are going to price in this trend of unders in the last few weeks and in this very game go against it, then I'm willing to go against it too. Then I'm willing to say, okay, now I have all the information, resistance point met, likely CLV on the over, injury-related dip, and probably worth grabbing that 211.5. I think I've been talking the whole time, Gib. I'm going to quickly change my settings. Apologize for all of the listeners.
There. I just switched my audio from my computer microphone to my actual microphone that I'm speaking into. So apologies if it's been crappy sound quality, but the information should be sound no less. So, Gib, I'm on that Charlotte Hornets -2, even though you can still get it at -1.5. You are on the over 211. You could still get it at 211.5. Was there anything else that you liked on this board?
Yeah, and I think this might also be a good segue into our next conversation. But the one game here that I wanted to bet on, because I think it's important for both teams this game, is the Orlando Magic versus the Pelicans here. Yep. I think both teams are in important playoff races. I think the Magic want to get out of that 4-5 spot and get into that 3 place so they get away from the Celtics, and the Pelicans don't want to play in the play-in. So I think this is super important for both teams, really fighting for playoff position. And so I really like how the Pelicans have been playing. Big Zion fan. I like skinny Zion. I think he has looked like a top 15 NBA player the past 10 games, maybe even top 10 if you're really pushing it. Probably top 15. And so I don't want to take the spread here. I kind of want to play it safe, but I want to take Pelicans money line here at -172.
Yeah, so I'm looking it up right now. I'm finding the best price. Caesars -170, Bet365 -170. General consensus is -175, so FanDuel has slightly of a better number. BetMGM, worst number on the board, all the way up to 185. Gib, I would advise you to play some spread and some money line. I understand if you want the insurance, but split up your exposure because 1, 2, and 3 are not the most common outcomes in NBA games. This might be a dogfight where it's close and low scoring with two teams who have good defenses with a game total at, 209? So it might be a situation where you might want that insurance and it might be a closer fight and the value of 3 and 4 might be more valuable in this game because we expect it to be tighter and lower scoring and more of a dogfight. But generally, I would go money line when it's like 8 or 8.5 and it's moved through that. And I'm okay playing spread when it's 3 or 4-ish. But it's 4 moving to 4.5. That's when you start getting into it's moving through key numbers. I'm okay with Pelicans -170 on the money line and a little bit of -4. Home team Pelicans got a lot to prove as they get to the playoffs. Do you think Zion's going to be good in the playoffs? Do you think he's going to be an absolute bust and get exposed on defense, shown in the pick and roll, cardioed out to exhaustion, and then inefficient on offense?
I believe in him.
Was that a leading question?
It was a leading question, but I disagree. I don't think he's going to get exposed like that. I think he got exposed in the playing tournament. And he's not going to let that happen again.
Oh, apparently he's 30 pounds lighter. So if Zion can use actual motivation from some of the rhetoric around him, that'd be like the finally it happened. Can I give you my hottest take about the Pelicans and their offseason?
Yeah.
I'm not going to like say it in a hot take form where I would clip it because I'm still trying to understand where this might go, but I really think it. If the Pelicans flame out in the first round, Spurs got to be on the phone. I'll use Gibby language. Immediately. You pair Zion and Wemby or B.I. and Wemby. You choose either of them. That is so much of a better fit than the Trae Young or DeJounte Murray type of stuff that we've been talking about. You go into next season with Wemby and Zion, so Wemby clears the floor spacing and covers up some defensive mistakes, and you get Zion just playing point forward, or you get B.I. being able to be a creator in ISO score, Both are phenomenal fits next to Victor Wembanyama.
What do you think they'd have to give up to get that?
I know they have the pieces. That's what makes it so exciting. The Spurs have what it takes. They're not giving up Vassell. Wintour talked about this on a recent podcast. Vassell's apparently like an untouchable in an upgrade around Wembanyama that they think he's the perfect fit. So you're going for someone who's not a two guard or not a, like a Jaylen Brown type. And you're going for someone who can be on ball and could put that shit in the bucket next to Vic.
I don't believe that at all, that Vassell is an untouchable. If the Pelicans were like, we'll give you Zion, but you need to give us Vassell, they're giving up Vassell.
Yeah, I think so too. But that's the rhetoric. That's the rhetoric coming out in the media.
Yeah, yeah. I always love hearing like these guys are untouchable.
Untouchable. Like, Devin Vassell. Like, yeah, I'll bite my tongue
on that. They're like barely stars in the league. You're like, all right, well, we'll give you a Zion. That guy is no longer an untouchable.
Okay, but Zion was apparently reportedly up for grabs for a Scoot Henderson type of deal. First of all, holy hell, did the Pelicans get lucky and avoid that? But they were asking for Scoot's medical records, and the Pelicans sent Zion's medical records to Portland. So, and then they said, no, discussions weren't even being had. Okay, yeah, discussions cannot be had while we still fax over our medical records. Anyways, I think it means he's somewhat available. If there's a playoff flameout, like if they go up against the Clippers and the Clippers just small ball torch them, or they just expose Zion, or B.I.'s not healthy and back enough to be impactful, and they get blown out of the waters quickly, and they're not this playoff threat that we thought they were, then there's a chance Pelicans look to shake it up, and the Spurs better be on the phone. That's just my ultimate. We've talked about, is Donovan Mitchell going to be available? Is DeJounte or Trey, who's potentially going to go to L.A.? San Antonio should call New Orleans first and foremost above all of those people.
I get a point guard.
Yeah, Garland.
I love that.
Yeah, me too. I think ultimately Donovan Mitchell's maybe going to request a trade, though, which would mean Garland is a long-term fit in Cleveland. Yeah, let's get back to this slate, Gib. I'm perusing for anything else. Okay, let's talk about Oklahoma City at Thunder. I mean, Thunder at Celtics. 8.5-point spread. I want to use this game as an example for a bigger picture of just understanding late season betting. It is April 2nd. The NBA season ends on April 14th. This podcast is for April 3rd. So we got 11 or 12 betting days left. These teams have about 6 games left on their schedules. The Celtics are more than 6 games up and have already locked in the number one seed in the East, the number one seed in the NBA playoffs. I don't think that means that they're going to throw in the towel. I also don't think that means that they're going to be going all out. So you have to walk that middle ground. It's going to be really hard to try and bet Celtics. But what I definitely don't do, Gibby, I don't try and talk myself into Celtics don't care, Thunder do care. Celtics are not in a seeding race. Thunder are in a seeding race. Thunder need this one. Celtics may rest people. I am not going to do that because that can get you in so much trouble to, first of all, in life. Don't ever assume what anyone else is thinking and feeling, right? But more so when you're gambling your money, that we might, like, look at the Hawks versus Celtics last week. The Celtics could have locked up seeding, and the Hawks had damn near nothing to play for, and the Hawks were going all out, talking trash, pushing it to overtime, mounting 30-point comebacks. Like, these players, you can't predict what their attitude is in a random NBA game.
I agree. I don't think like thinking the Celtics are just going to give up. But what I would say is, you know, I'm a big player prop bettor. As the loyal fans of the pod already know.
Yep.
I would be weary of what player props you bet for the Celtics.
Talk about it. Yeah, go a little bit in depth on that.
So it'll be interesting to see what the lines are, but I think that Missoula and the coaches, if they do anything, they're not going to shut players down, but guys like Tatum, Brown, they may cut back their minutes a little bit just to get them a little bit rested or to make sure there's no injury risk while making sure that they stay sharp for the playoffs. Because, again, you're not incentivized to have to win, but you want them to stay sharp. So we may not be seeing Jason Tatum put up 35, 40-point games. It may be, you know, he has a bunch of 25-point games, 20-point games, and you see a little bit more from Pritchard. Pritchard might be, you know, betting Pritchard player props might be a little bit better because he's going to see a little bit of increase in minutes because they want to make sure if he ever needs to be ready for the playoffs, he's gotten a bunch of minutes recently. So I would just be weary. I'm not saying don't bet him or, like, refuse to bet him. Just make sure you're looking at what the lines are. How do they compare to typically in the normal season? Like, is Jason Tatum's over-under now closer to, like, 24.5 versus typically during the season, I think it was 26.5, 27.5, somewhere around there, depending on the matchup.
Yeah, I think that's great advice, Gib. I appreciate you bringing that up because it just it's like end-of-season contract incentives in Week 18 football. That's what this reminds me of. Like, oh, said person needs 4 threes. We're going to start hearing those stories for the NBA. So-and-so needs to play 22 minutes and score 33 points to reach their contract incentive to score an extra 100,000. If that team's a playoff team and they're playoff bound, I don't think that they're going to prioritize the 33 points and getting the ball in his hands. If it's an important game, like those things aren't as impactful as you tend to think. So be careful about convincing yourself of something for a reason that you wouldn't bet prior. And so one of the things that the story that I always come back to with this was when James Harden didn't make the All-Star team last year as a member of the Philadelphia 76ers. And I heard someone who gives out picks give out Harden's overs for the game after the All-Star break. And the reasoning was Harden's going to be so pissed he wasn't an All-Star. And I always go back to that. I'm like, how did we know that Harden wasn't in a beach on Cancun with margaritas and a beautiful woman and having a great time and with Rick Ross and Meek with him? And we look at the All-Star game and it was a terrible game and everyone's complaining in the media. You think Harden's re-entering game one back being like, I'm still pissed that I wasn't there. I feel snubbed, so I'm going to score a lot. Like, if we convince ourselves of these things and put money behind it, it's a pretty dangerous concept. I think that blanketly applies to the last week or two of NBA betting. You might want to scale down your exposure. You might want to look for more line swings, for more middle plays, for more of a CLV angle, and less of a, I'm playing into this at tip-off. Play things back so you reduce your exposure. Look for those opportunities more so than the typical caps. And then we'll restart with the playoffs where, Gib, once we get to the playoffs, you're going to hear me giving the exact reverse lesson and saying just because the game's more important doesn't mean your bet has to be more important. And just because it's a playoff game doesn't mean we're betting 2 units instead of 1 unit. Just because the players care more doesn't mean you have to care more. So it's like it's always just like kind of centering yourself and being realistic with these things. But I do want to hit a few more topics on this slate before we get out of here. BetMGM has Suns minus 5.5. I am going to grab that. There is movement towards the under. Everywhere else is at 225.5 for this Cavaliers at Suns game. I'm scared about grabbing that under in case Donovan Mitchell plays. But even if he does play, I think the Suns would be 4.5 or 5 point favorites. And grabbing that 5.5 is very important before the key number onto 6. So go to BetMGM, grab that last remaining 5.5 and play it before the key number. Suns at home against a Cavs team on the road in a back-to-back situation. They are in Utah, so they're going out of elevation down to the Valley of the Snakes in the Suns. Shout out KD. And then I think the Suns get that one done.
I like it. I like that pick.
Okay, so we're going Suns minus 5.5. I also have, Gib, last one. I personally bet Lakers at Wizards under 234, but it's moved everywhere to be 233. I'm going to find the best line, and I want to go through this. So the best line you could still find is 233.5. So you're off of a landing spot, the difference of going from onto a half number. If the 234, it's no longer a push. I would push, you would lose if you bet it now. My assumption with this Wizards-Lakers game, Gib, is that they are going to inevitably put LeBron and Anthony Davis on the injury report because the Lakers are on the second night of a back-to-back. I think Lakers play tonight, right?
Yeah, the Lakers, I think they clap those Raptors.
Okay, so I think we're going to get to a point later tonight or tomorrow where LeBron and AD are on the injury report and the line dips, and that gives me the opportunity to play it back. Or they're one of them is going to be out, which gives me the opportunity to play it back. I am not playing under 234 because I think the game is going to go under 234. I think I'm playing under 234 because I think there's going to be 4 points of movement, and then I could play it over 229 or over 230.5 and create an equal exposure middle where they bounce off each other. Now that it's at 233.5, is that opportunity done because we've missed some of the value that I'm going to put into my middle? Or do you think going under 233.5 still valuable with Lakers on the second night of a back-to-back?
I think it's still valuable. I do think that the Lakers are going to make sure they're healthy, and I think LeBron has said that they're going to favor health over some of the wins or playing. Now, yep. WizKids did just beat the Bucks tonight, but I don't know like how. I think the Lakers can still beat them without either, actually both of them sitting out.
Maybe it even impacts the Dallas Golden State game, because if Golden State ends up winning tonight, then like the Lakers are going to have to keep playing for that. But if Golden State ends up losing tonight, so wait for this game to end. I'll try and get this podcast posted. But if Golden State ends up losing tonight, then LA is not going to be, they're going to get that 9-10 playing game in LA, not in Golden State. So that's really the only thing the Lakers are playing for. I mean, the Lakers kind of do have a chance to get the 8th seed, but
I was going to say, what do you like the Lakers right now? They're a game back from Sacramento in 8, a game and a half back from the Suns in 7, and 2.5 back from Pelicans in 6. The Mavericks are also 3 games above them for 5th. So right, they're not technically out of any of those spots, but what is a realistic goal? Do you think they can aim for the 6th seed, or they're really saying we're going for the 7-8?
Lakers have 6 left. They play the Pelicans and the Warriors each once in that span. The Pelicans have 7 left. Which other team did you mention? Phoenix. Phoenix is the hardest schedule left in the NBA. They also have 7 left. So I do think it's possible for the LA to jump. LA gets, you know, the Grizzlies and the Wizards in this last 6 games, whereas the Phoenix, listen to the schedule for the last 7 games of Phoenix: 2 against the Timberwolves, 2 against the Clippers, the Cavs, the Pelicans, and the Kings. Brutal. They face a strength of schedule of a 63% win record. That's like a 50-win team.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Suns playoffs already started.
Let's go,
which
Katie.
Is why get they up, need, get they it, need get to be playing with urgency tomorrow night. But that's not – this perfect example. Suns need to be playing with urgency tomorrow night because they're in the play-in race. They need seeding. They need to work their way out of this. Ideally, it would be catastrophic for their team if they ended up missing the playoffs. Cleveland's going to be on the second leg of a back-to-back. So are we going to talk ourselves into Suns need this so much because this is one they need to have given how tough their schedule is and where they are? Yes, that's part of what I'm thinking, but no, that's not my handicap, because my handicap is going from the 5.5 to 6 is so valuable, and that Donovan Mitchell might still be out. So those things take precedent, and the reason why I'm betting, throw in that I think the sense of urgency will be there, but it's not the motivating factor that pushes me over the edge or convinces me to play this. Does that make sense?
Makes sense. One last question before
go ahead.
We rock out of here because I think it's important and it's timely. 76ers, they're in 8th place. They're 2.5 back of the Pacers. Embiid is back. He helped lead him to a victory tonight over OKC. How many did he have tonight? He had 24 points in 29 minutes. How do you think this impacts betting for the Sixers? Do you think they're going for that 6th seed, trying to move up 2 games? Or, you know, they're going to also be fighting with the Heat for that 6th seed. How do you think this impacts that the play-in race for the Eastern Conference with Embiid back?
Do you see the screen? Do you see what I just highlighted?
So I just 95 for most improved.
So I just highlighted Tyrese Maxey's minus 195 for most improved. The strength of schedule for the Philadelphia 76ers in their remaining games, Gib, the easiest in the league. We just went from the hardest in the league. Nice transition, because you clearly knew. No, I'm kidding. You clearly did not know this.
I did not know that.
I know. The remaining six games after the Thunder played the Philadelphia 76ers on Tuesday night, tonight, the 76ers have the Heat and the Magic. Okay, those are good teams. Heat and Magic, those are their next two games. They're going to do the little Florida powwow. And then they close the season with Pistons, Spurs, Grizzlies, Nets. So you get four absolute trash teams for Embiid to work his way back to, for them to bully. I really like the Sixers to make a nice little run. Ultimately, they're probably going to be in the play-in race. So it's going to, if they lose that first play-in game, maybe against Miami, maybe against Indiana or whoever, then they might end up getting the Celtics in the first round, which would be brutal, right? That would fucking suck. But I do think the 76ers were 1 week away from being like, oh, 76ers are back. They're a real threat. Embiid looks good again. Buddy Hield is fitting in. Tyrese Maxey is truly the second star. And that last point is like, well, that's what I'm thinking. These last six games is the Embiid is the tide that lifts all boats. And we're going to be remembering that Tyrese Maxey is the second star and that this was a breakout year for him. And Maxey minus 195 most improved player is the thing I would bet if I'm talking anything 76ers related.
And also,
and roll over money lines for them to win those last games.
Not to forget, Tobias with Embiid, his numbers versus Tobias without Embiid are insane. Like the difference is insane.
The tie that lifts all boats, right? Like, yeah. Embiid comes back, you're no longer saying Tobias is invisible.
Yeah, he had even tonight, he had 18, 6, and 4 just because Embiid was back. It opens up so much for everybody. So, if I'm the Celtics, that's not a first round matchup that I really
know. No, definitely not. I think they're the scariest contender in the East besides Boston.
You think so? Wow.
Yeah. I just don't. Maybe the Bucks. I mean, the Bucks just lost to the Wizards tonight. I know Dame wasn't playing, but some nights they just look so bad. And I've never seen Boston look bad. And when Embiid is playing, and if they get D'Anthony Melton back and that crew, like, that starting lineup was so fucking good. Like, they could be a real team. Like, really good, really quickly again. Oubre's been aggressive. Batum's been a great fit. Tobias is going to come out of his shell with Embiid back. I'm, like, very in. I think Nick Nurse, huge addition. I'm very in on the 76ers. I just don't think the only way to play them is Maxey minus 195 or rolling over their money line, which I want to quickly explain what I mean by that, Gib, and then we'll get out of here. Right. When I say rolling over their money line, it's essentially a four-game parlay. Ooh, Fid's on a parlay. It's essentially a four-game parlay where I'm going to risk one unit, right? So you risk one unit on their money line in game one, and it wins. And let's say they're playing the Pistons, and they're minus 500. So you win 1 point. Your return is 0.2 of a unit, and you're at 1.2 units now. Now you go into the next game against the Spurs, and you play 1.2 units on their minus 300 line, and it's to win, you know, let's say it's a minus 400 line and it's to win 0.3 of a unit. And now you're at 1.5 units. So you're rolling over your profit and your risk. You're not just re-risking your original profit. You're re-risking everything that you've gotten back plus your one unit in the beginning. So hopefully by the end, and hopefully you could pick off best prices, you can line shop, you could work at different books. That's why rolling over is sometimes smarter than like even betting a future. Because if you bet a future, then you're only fixated to one price. When you are starting to roll over, you can skip a game and you could say, okay, I'm done here. Something's changed. Maxey got hurt. I don't want to do it anymore. Or you can do, I'm going to now put this at BetMGM instead of FanDuel because FanDuel had the best line for game one. Now I go to MGM for game two and I'm saving 9% margins by playing a better line. So these things are important. They're good strategies to be aware of. It's a good example of when you can use a rollover. You could use an awards bet to bet Tyrese Maxey. And yeah, I think that's a great way to end the show. Gib, any final thoughts before we wrap up?
No, I thought we had a pretty good conversation today about a bunch of different betting things. But love our picks today, and let's make it 8-0 for me, baby.
Yeah. So what? All right. So let's quickly review it. I am on Hornets -1.5. You could still get it out. Again, I am on -2. So I will tweet out -2. It'll be in my records as -2 on my tracker. But you can get -1.5, and I still like it because I think that's injury related. Over 211 for Gibby. You can get 211.5 right now at ESPN Bet. New Orleans Pelicans -170 on the money line was available at Caesars. Phoenix Suns -5.5 was available at BetMGM. Tyrese Maxey most improved -195. I believe FanDuel has the best price in the market for it. That should wrap up our plays for today. Oh, we also gave out the Lakers Wizards under 234, 233.5. Again, take into what I said into consideration if you want to actually end up playing that line. Thank you for everyone for tuning in. And as always, wait. Quick announcement. Gib, you heard the good news?
What's the good news?
First of all, I tentatively scheduled you in for all once a week remaining. Is that okay?
Yeah, okay.
All right, good news, listeners. We got Gibby once a week for the rest of the season. And then the second bit of good news is that the listeners might recognize Drew from the last episode, who is the professional poker player. I have convinced Drew and one of my other friends, Mike, who are both full-time professional poker players and sports bettors, to start coming on the podcast with me weekly. So we were going to have the powwow of me and Gib once a week, and this man's undefeated. Then we're going to get some sports bettors who lose more than Gibby does because he's undefeated to have a weekly conversation. And we will continue check ball with AV every Sunday. We skipped this Sunday because it was Easter. Gib, last question. Favorite Easter candy? Go.
This is controversial, but I'm a Peeps guy.
Yeah. Talk to you guys later.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.